Glad to see you come out to hear the word of the Lord. And last night I had a good time. I don't know whether you did or not, but I really enjoyed the wonderful blessings of God last night. The Spirit of the Lord was here last night. The yoke was broken. And I felt God saving and I felt God healing. And the people was praising the Lord. And I just felt something real. Glad to be here tonight. It's always a privilege for me to come into the tent, wherever I'm at, whether it's under the big tent or under the little tent that we have. And I'm always glad to preach the gospel, whether it's on the home front or whether it's somewhere in the foreign fields. Open air meeting, auditorium on the street, wherever I might be, I've done all of that. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to minister the wonderful words of Jesus Christ. Wherever I am, I love to preach the gospel. I love to sing about Jesus. I love to talk about Jesus. And I appreciate the wonderful words of God so very much. I'm here, as I say so often, not because I chose to come here, but by the leading of the Lord, I'm here. In most all of our meetings, wherever I go, it's usually by the instruction, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when I move by faith because I feel the unction. There are other times when He directs me to go to certain places by His Spirit. And Eden is one of the places where He definitely told me to come. I would not be here tonight had He not told me to come, but He told me to come here, so I'm here tonight. I've enjoyed being here in Eden because I haven't met arrogant people since I've been here. I've met some wonderful people, people that have been very courteous, very receptive. I haven't met arrogant people. I've met people that have been interested in God and interested in the Word of the Lord, and people with great courtesy. I'm very grateful to meet that kind of people and to have fellowship with that kind of people, because I'm persuaded to believe that that's the way that people ought to be. And God helping us, God blessing us, we intend to continue a little longer here in Eden by the help of the Lord and see what we can do as pertaining to the word of the Lord. Something comes to my mind as I stand here tonight. We move by revelation. Paul one time said, I went up to confer with Peter by revelation. And I say this so often. The Scripture tells us to pray that God will grant unto us, that is unto the church, the spirit of revelation. I think the one thing that's missing in the church today is the spirit of revelation. The Bible tells us when we come together that we should have a doctrine. And it tells us that we should have a psalm, we should have a revelation. I don't say this in any way critical. I don't say anything that I say to be smart, to be arrogant, to be a know-all, or to be critical. I say it as a matter of fact and a matter of truth. There are people in the world today, ministers, they travel through the land, and they will tell you that they don't preach doctrine. That's the one thing they'll say. I don't preach doctrine. When you ask them to come to your church, they'll say, if you'll just let me come to the church, I won't bother you because I don't preach doctrine. Now, folks, truthfully, from the bottom of my heart, with all respect to the ministry and to those people and whoever, when a man tells you that, if you've got a church, the first thing you do, stop him at the door and don't let him in because he is not sent by God. The first thing the Bible asks is, the question it asks is this, who can I teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. Indeed, that is to say, those that are not babes in Christ. The Bible said, if you be a babe in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. Whereas the meat is for the strong, getting back to the doctrine. They who have, by exercising their senses, come to the place to where they can discern between good and evil. And the Lord speaks of being, of having meat in His house. But anyway, to be able to talk to everybody and have the fellowship of everybody and to be sure that nobody criticizes us and nobody evades us, and that we might get all the congregation of all the people, of all the thinking and of all the ideas and doctrines or whatever, then we find ourselves saying we don't preach doctrine. But in the second chapter of Acts, the question is asked again, or the statement is made rather again, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There is but one doctrine, that is the doctrine of Christ Jesus, even the Word of God. The Lord laid that by a foundation of 12 apostolic leaders, great apostles. And He said, this is the foundation that I lay, 12 stones, as it was when they crossed the Jordan. Took them out as a memorial, put them there that they might know that they had crossed over that great stream of death. 12 stones, these beautiful stones, was found in the city of New Jerusalem. The Bible said the names of the apostles was written in these stones. And Abraham referred to it like this, a city built by God. And the writer said, Abraham, the father of the faithful, being a pilgrim, searched for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And I spoke of this the other night. The astronauts having gone up into the heavenlies, and they've looked back, and they realize now that the earth is nothing more than a little ball. Therefore, they know that it doesn't have any foundation. They know that the cities of this world have no foundation. Therefore, the only city that hath the foundation is the one that Christ laid. He said, I laid the foundation, let every man take heed how he build thereupon, for the day shall try his works. And if a man's works survive, the Christ is in the fire, he'll receive a reward. But there is a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that's that great heavenly city called New Jerusalem. Something is taking place. We're moving by revelation, and here we are in this place called Eden tonight by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And something is taking place. You know, my daughter Gracie had a birthday today. And I thought that was really something, Grace having a birthday. That was... really something. And of course, to the average individual, when we think about something like that, we just simply think about a natural thing taking place. But the Bible said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He cannot be judged of any man. No man can judge him, either with doctrine or ideas or theory or whatever. They cannot judge a Christian. But he judgeth all things, and the judgment God has committed unto him is righteous judgment. But I thought that was really something, because at the same time today, we received a personal writing in a little card, the kind that you mail out, not a postal card, but about the same size. We received a personal writing from Ronald Reagan, the President of the United States. We had committed something to his trust and given him a word from the Lord as God had spoken to us. And it has been quite a while. I believe that we had gone into India afterwards. Is that right? Having gone to India afterwards, into Israel. And it's been a good little while before this reached him personally. And today, we received the personal reply of gratitude and of sincere thanks from him. And I thought it was really something that on Grace's birthday, this came about. Of course, tonight, if I tried to explain to some of you what I'm saying, I'm sure that you wouldn't understand. I know that you would not understand. It would only complicate your thinking. But to me, it's very clear, even as the noonday light. And it is a great and a grand, glorious event in us being here in Eden at this time. And the Lord waiting until this time to do the thing that He did. A lot of wonderful things are taking place, and us being here in Eden is no coincidence whatsoever. It is the divine providence of the Almighty God. He has sent us here, and I say very sincerely, as I have said before, if the people knew what purpose this was for, then Eden would be shook up so bad that they would have to put people in straitjackets. You say, Brother Pike, you're exaggerating. No, not exaggerating at all. If for anything at all, I'm not really expressing it as strong as it really is. That's the truth. This has such a positive, great, astounding meaning that if they knew there would not be one minister, irregardless to what his faith or denominational background is, there would not be one minister in Eden or within miles of Eden that had heard about it, but what they'd be under the tent tonight. And they would be under the tent very gladly tonight. But, as I said the other night, God has suffered this to be hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made it revelation unto babes such as will learn, in that God cannot afford to let people know these things that are happening, because they would not be able to keep their mental stability and their mental balance. Therefore, He has hid it that they might continue on as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The catching away will be a great surprise, and what we refer to as the rapture will be a great shocking surprise because nobody will know when it's coming. So it's a wonderful thing to be here tonight and feel the presence of God and talk to you about the wonderful Word of the Lord. Each night as we come here, I take a few minutes that I might be able to collect your thoughts and get your attention, not your natural attention. I do have to have your natural attention. But not just your natural attention. I only try to get your natural attention so that I can collect your spirits and get your spirits to look in this direction. That is to say, if God is going to speak to me or through me to you, then God the Father being the Father of spirits and God being a spirit, according to the fourth chapter of St. John, then that means tonight the Father of spirits must get my spirit in tune with His spirit, and by means of the ministry get your spirit in tune with our spirit, that He might speak through us and that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So then I talk to you just a few minutes to get your attention and to get your spirits in this direction, that we might invite the great loving Holy Spirit in, the invisible one, that He might touch our spirits and that He might open the understanding of our spirits, that we might receive and hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church or the churches. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me tonight from over in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul speaking to the Corinthian people. Chapter 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye will speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Colossae, that there are contention among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, if I read down through the third chapter, Paul begins to speak of brethren that are carnal and brethren that are babes in Christ, that are not able to receive the milk of the word or the meat of the word, and he tells them to grow by receiving the milk of the word. He says there's envying among you, there's strife among you, there's division among you. This means that you are carnal and you walk as men. For he goes on to say that if you did not have this among you, it would prove that you were spiritual. As long as we have envy, as long as we have strife, as long as we have feuding and fussing and division and these kind of things of backbiting, then it is a positive thing that we are still in the natural frame of mind and that we are still carnal. But when we come to spiritual things and our conversation begins to be concerning the heavenly things and our hearts begin to hunger for heavenly things and our soul begins to reach out for that which is the invisible things of God, then we know that we are not carnal, but we are interested in the wonderful spiritual hidden mysteries of Almighty God. I said the other night, Jesus made the statement that he that overcometh, he said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. The hidden manna is the revelation or the hidden mysteries of God. You cannot get the revelation. You cannot get the hidden mysteries unless you overcome. That is, you've got to live an overcoming life and you've got to subdue the outer man to subdue the flesh. You must subdue the flesh. If you do not subdue the flesh, you are not a victorian. If you do not subdue the flesh, you have not overcome. If your flesh is relative to the things of the world and you love the things of the world and you're going after the things of the world and your labors for the things of the world is a positive thing that you have not overcome. And therefore, you cannot eat of the hidden manna. You must overcome the flesh. Jesus warned them in one place concerning the rapture. He said, keep your garment. Keep thy garment, lest ye walk naked. Keep thy garment. Now we say, what is the garment? Our garment is our body, our spiritual inner man that the Bible refers to as put on a garment. And the Bible says the garment of God is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. For he said, as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he tells us that we must keep our garment. One of the writers said, if this tabernacle, which is our body, if it be dissolved, then we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is, if I am born to the flesh and according to the flesh, if this fleshly body should deteriorate and pass away, I then have the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, which is eternal in the spirit or eternal in the heavens. If I have borne the image of the earthy from my first birth, as I have borne the image of the earthy, which is of the first birth, the first body, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly, which is that new, wonderful, resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And by faith in God, I can put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus I will have the wedding garment. The Lord warned us, saying that if any person comes into my presence without this wedding garment, he will be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said, this garment that has been tried in the fire, that is to say, this body of the Lord Jesus Christ that actually went down into the flames of hell and survived the flames of hell, that body that went through the fire, this garment that went through the fire, this raiment that was tried in the fire, he said, unless you put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you put on this garment that has been tried in the fire, you will be found naked and they shall see your shame. So then tonight we know that we've got to crucify the body. We've got to mortify the deeds of the body. We've got to come out from the world and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things that God might receive us unto his own for his own purpose. So then we see that God is trying to tell us that he is not pleased with our first birth. God is not pleased with our first birth. Our first bodies are contemptible in his sight. Our first bodies are repulsive in his sight. The reason is because we are born in the image of the beast. In the first birth, we are born in the image of the beast. Now, somebody would dispute that and say, Brother Pike, we're made in the image of God. I know that God made Adam in his image. I realize that God made Adam in His image, that's for sure. God made Adam in His image, but Adam lost that image when he fell from the garden. He lost the covering of the Shekinah glory, and he lost that beautiful, glorious image of God when he fell from the garden. Today, if I said to you, who is in the image of God? Would it be this person over here that's overweight? Would it be this person over here that's underweight? Would it be the bald-headed man or the man with plenty of hair? Would it be the intelligent or would it be the ignorant man? Or which one of us would we say is in the image of God? See, man lost his image. Jesus makes that clear because he says, he speaks of the image of God and he says you have never seen his form or his image at any time. Someone would say, well, there was Jesus who was the express image of God, which means the given form of the invisible spirit and the only form that's given to make God known to the human mind. But on the other hand, Jesus expressed it like this. When he looked at them, he said, you've never seen his form at any time. Here he stands as the form of God, we would say, but he's telling them that they've never seen the form of God at any time. Now, why is Jesus doing that? Because the Bible said that when Jesus came, he was made in the image of sin. Jesus left his heavenly image. He veiled his heavenly image, the Christ on the inside, that which is referred to as the inner man, and appeared among men in the image of sin. And he stood in the midst of the brethren. And the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then we know that that glorious image is not among us, in that Jesus has gone away. When he was changed, he went away. The Bible said, concerning your image and my image in the natural of our first birth, he says, if you're not born again, and if you do not make that change at the resurrection or the translation, the rapture we refer to, if you do not do this, he said, I will despise thine image in the morning. That is the beginning of days with God. That is the resurrection with God. That is the morning with God. He said, and I will despise thine image because your image will be the image of the bastard child, which does not have a heavenly father, in that you are a derivative from the fall in the garden, and in that you have come down to the level of the beast, and in that you are the seed of the serpent and not the seed of God. You have not been changed in that glorious image into the likeness of the Son of God. Then he said, in the morning, I will despise thine image. So then we see that we've got to keep our garment. We've got to make sure our calling. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. That is, check up and see if you can perform the things that God asks you to perform. See if you've got brotherly love. See if you've got godliness. See if you're walking holy. See if you're walking circumspectively. See if you're doing right. See if the love of God's in you. See if the things that you are doing is like Christ. You know, those first called Christians down at Antioch, which means Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to be a Christian. So then the Bible tells us that we should check up and see if we are Christ-like. See if we are Christians, that we should examine ourselves and see if our conviction is just heresy or our conviction is just some church doctrine, or see if our conviction is the Word of God. That is, examine yourselves and see if you are in the faith, which faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. I said the other night, the Bible speaks of the latter time when many shall depart from the faith. And I say this again reverently, there is no faith outside of the Word of God. Just because you believe, you do not have faith. I want to repeat this again tonight. Believing is not faith. Just because you believe, that does not mean that you have faith. You may come up here before Brother Pike tonight and you may say, I believe, but that does not mean you have faith. You may go before other great evangelists in the world today, and you may say, I have faith, I believe, but that does not mean that you have faith. See, it is not what you believe that is faith, in the sense of saying, I belong to a certain church, or I belong to a certain doctrine, or I belong to a certain people. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means the only faith there is believing in the word of God. And in the last days, there will be doctrines of devils, and people will believe in those things. They will have a conviction, and they will believe, but they will not have faith. They will believe in what they've heard. They will believe in what they've been taught, but they will not have faith, because faith is in the word of God. Many shall depart from the faith that is from the word and the way of the word, doing the word and conforming to the word, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and they'll get past feeling and they can do anything. They'll get to where it doesn't bother them to do anything. You can bring anything into the church. You can make anything a practice in the church. You can do any way you want to in the church. The women can act any way, dress any way. The men can act any way, dress any way. But their conscience will be seared with a hot iron. They will not have faith in God's word. They will not believe in God's word. It will not trouble them because they don't have any conscience that is contrary to the things of the world. So then, beloved friend, it is necessary that you and I be very conscientious. You know, I had a fellow to come to me one time. He said, don't speak against any denomination now, Brother Pike. Preach all you want to, but don't preach against any denomination. I said, my dear brother, if I didn't do that, I couldn't preach at all. I'd be bound like a fly in a spider web. The first thing Jesus done is said, you hypocrites, you Pharisees and scribes, you a bunch of hypocrites. Somebody say amen. I said, the first thing the master done was said that there was a bunch of hypocrites, Pharisees and scribes. You speak about any evangelist, speak about any person, speak about any church, and the chaff flies out just like that. Let me tell you something tonight, beloved friend. We are speaking of God's word. The elect is going to listen to God's word, and the elect is going to believe God's word. There is no faith outside of the word of God. It doesn't matter who the evangelist is. It doesn't matter who the preacher is. It doesn't matter what they might say. There is no faith outside of the word of God. We see these things happen. Women today are dressing in pants instead of dresses, which is an abomination in the sight of God. God has spoken from heaven and told us that women are not to dress in anything that appertaineth unto a man, because it is an abomination in the sight of God. But because the preacher is afraid that he'll lose his money that's coming in, he's afraid that he'll lose his prestige, he's afraid that he'll lose out with the congregation and the local body of town and the celebrities, so he just lets anybody do any old way, and he doesn't say anything about it. I believe the Bible said, preach the gospel to every creature. Let whosoever come, let whosoever will listen. But then he did not tell me to hold back from preaching the gospel. I do not say anything to anybody that comes to my meetings. I do not try to abuse them, but I still do not try to protect them from the word of God. I preach the word of God. And beloved friend, if you are the elect of God, you're going to grab the word of God, and you're going to get in the word of God, and you're going to say amen to the word of God, and you're going to move with the word of God, and you're going to do what God's telling you to do. And if you're not, you're going to bounce up and fly out with the chaff. You're going to get away, for the word of God is going to come down to where you live. And the Bible said the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. When you preach the word of God, you're going to lose some of your congregation. When you preach the word of God, you're going to lose some people, because the wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. I'm talking about heaven, folks. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm not talking about building a church. I'm not talking about having a camp meeting. I'm not talking about getting a following. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, where is your following? Did you know the way I feel about this thing? The whole earth is my platform, and billions of people are my congregation. I'm not looking for a following. I thank God for that one thing. There's a lot of people in the world today that's looking for a following, and they've got their following, but I'm not looking for a following. Jesus told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible said, he that believeth, the Bible said, and is baptized, is put on Christ. And the Bible said, they shall be saved. So then when I come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm looking for you to believe. The Bible said we are baptized by one Spirit into one great body. If I'm to be bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, if I'm to be part of this great Christ body, then I've got to be baptized into it by Spirit. I cannot join a church. I cannot join a following. I cannot belong to a denomination and be part of the body of Jesus Christ. I must be baptized into the membership of this many-membered body by one great Spirit. Beloved friend, tonight my hand belongs to my body because the Spirit of my life is in that hand. The Spirit of this life that dwells inside of me is in this arm, and it makes this arm part of this body. And if you've got the Spirit of Christ Jesus in you tonight, you're part of the body of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you tonight, the Bible said you're none of mine. Because you're baptized into the body by one Spirit, the Bible tells us. And this is the thing that God is looking for us to do, to get into the Spirit of God, be baptized into this body, and get to be one. I read to you tonight that God is not pleased with us having a following and somebody saying that I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of the different ones. God said this is not right. Paul, our overseer, the great, wonderful overseer of the church, the Gentile church, said, beloved friend, this is not right. He said, because there is division among you. One says, I belong to this, and one says, I belong to that. And he said, all of them are speaking something different. He said, the church of the living God must speak the same thing. They must come together. They must have one mind. They must have one outlook, and that's for Christ Jesus. And one design, that's to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at the early church at Pentecost. When God set up the first church and 3,000 people were added unto the first church, and Peter preached his great sermon and commanded them to repent and told them how that with wicked hands they had taken and crucified the Lord of glory, the Bible says they were all in one accord, in one mind. Are you listening? The Bible said they were with one accord, they were in one mind. They had one accord to do the will of God, to glorify Christ. They had one mind, even the mind of Christ, in which they were instructed. And the Bible said all of them that was added unto the church, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There was one church, there was one teaching, there was one mind, there was one Spirit, there was one God, there was one faith, there was one baptism. Tonight it's identically the same. It hasn't changed one bit. But today, look at the church. You mean to tell me, friend, that all of these different ideas, all of these different denominations, all of these different people, all of these different theories, you mean to tell me that's the church of the living God? This man over here goes this way, and another man goes that way, and another one decides that this is right, and another one decides this is right, and this one says he's the Son of God, and that one says he's the Son of God, and they're split up like splinters. You tell me that's the church of the living God? No. There is but one church. You say, Brother Pike, what is that church? The one that's founded upon the rock. That's God's Word. He founded it on the rock back there. He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So then it's founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And who is that rock, Christ Jesus? He is the Word. And whatever that Word says, brother, that's where faith comes from. And when faith comes, that's where the church is. The church is those that believe in the Word of God. Those that believe in Brother Pike, that's not the church. Those that believe in Brother Roberts, that's not the church. They that believe in Billy Graham, that's not the church. They that believe in Christ, they're the church, the Bible says. Paul said it wasn't Brother Pike that died for you. It wasn't Brother Graham that died for you. It wasn't Brother Roberts that died for you. It wasn't the Church of God preach. It wasn't the UPC preach. It wasn't the Catholic Pope. But it was Christ Jesus that died and was resurrected again. And the Bible teaches that He has had to have the preeminence in all things. And faith shall be preached in His name, the Bible said, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Bible said there is salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus Christ. So then, great is the mystery of godliness, this writer said. Paul received a revelation that there was a mystery concerning iniquity.
And there was also a mystery concerning godliness. And he said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God the great holy light, God the great holy Father, said he was manifested in a body called Jesus Christ. He was manifested in the flesh. And said he was justified in the spirit by God. And the Bible said he was caught up into heaven. He was seen of angels and caught up into heaven. This great, wonderful Jesus. Great is the mystery of godliness, because God made himself known to us through his loving Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then tonight when we preach the word of God, what must we preach? We must preach, he said here, a sanctification. We must preach here a redemption. Not a sanctification, beloved friend, that is an everyday sanctification for salvation, for perfection. Because the Bible said God has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. And the Bible said God has made perfect or perfected forever them that are sanctified by his blood. But on the other hand, there is a daily sanctification where he tells us to sanctify ourselves daily, not in the sense of our salvation, not in the sense of that security, that eternal security which God has wrought in Jesus Christ, but rather in the sense of making ourselves available for his service and conforming to the wonderful walk of God and bringing this body into subjection to the wonderful knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be a greater light and that we might be of greater service to God than we are in the days gone by. You know, this body, a lot of people, they think that being a Christian is nothing more than just believing. And they believe that believing is just what you want to believe any way that you want to believe. You know, but that believing, I say again, is according to the Word of God, your conformity to the Word of God, whatever the Word of God tells you to do. When you conform to the Word of God, you must conform to the Word of God, friend. That's the only faith there is. That's the only salvation there is. Saved by the grace of God through your believing in the faith, in the Word, that is. And the Bible teaches that this Word, we must conform to this word. We must incorporate this word into our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. Look at it like this. God said he would feed me the fruits of my thoughts. What then am I thinking? Whatever my daily thoughts are, then that's what God will feed me. God will feed me the fruits of my thinking. I must think according to God's word, because my fruit should be unto holiness, and God should feed me eternal life. The Bible said, in your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof eternal life. Isn't that right? I must be the tree of life in this world, in this garden. You know, I think of this little place called Eden. Here in this garden, here in this world, there's two kinds of trees. When Jesus went to Calvary and they began to reap, he said, don't weep for me. He said, if they do this in a green tree, what will they do to the dry? And the Bible speaks of the trees of God, saying, in that day the trees of God shall be so few that even a little child shall number them. That is to say, we are likened unto trees that's planted by the water that brings forth our fruit and our season, and our leaves doesn't wither. So then when we speak of a tree, what kind of a tree am I? Am I the tree of knowledge? Have I been branched out from an intellectual walk of life? Did I come from college? Did I get a degree from some great seminary to go among the people and talk about my ideas and my theology? Did God call me to do that? Or did God call me as a tree of life, filled up with his Spirit, saying the anointing of God shall be upon them and they shall be of a good understanding? Now, is it that we are the tree of life and our tree brings forth the fruits, the wonderful thoughts from the mind of Christ, who is the real tree of life? In that they hang him upon a tree to show the real tree of life, that real tree of life growing up out of the earth as the wonderful Christ in the resurrection, that wonderful eternal tree of God. We call it the tree of life. That is, you got a family tree and I got a family tree. And that's God's family tree, and we're part of that family tree. Or do we belong to the other tree? Do we belong not to grace, not to the word of God, but to the law and the condemnation of the law, in that the Bible teaches that Satan gets his strength by the law, or sin gets its strength by the law? See, what are we thinking? Are we thinking thoughts of faith and thoughts of peace and thoughts of happiness and thoughts of love and thoughts of virtue and thoughts of greatness concerning God and God's kingdom and His soon coming? Or are we thinking thoughts of lust and selfishness and gullibleness and all of these depraved things on the depraved side of life? What is our thinking? God said, I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. You know, scientists tell us that a man is just exactly what he eats. So then tonight, whatever you eat, that's what you are. If you want this body to be eternal, if you want this body to be preserved forever, if you want this body to have the blessings of God in it, if you want the glorification of Christ in your blood genetics, then you've got to eat the right food, and you've got to eat from the tree of life. So then tonight, God is feeding us from one tree or another. We are feeding from the fruits of our own thinking. God said, according to your thinking, so will be your life. For out of your heart will come forth the daily issues of life. And whatever you think, that's what you're going to be. So then I must think right to be right. I must eat from the tree of life if I want to live. If I eat from the tree of knowledge, which is my own reasoning and my own understanding, then the Bible tells me that I will die. So then I must eat the right fruits. I must do the things that please Him. The Bible said not to lean to your own understanding. Cast down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said to meditate in God's laws day and night. Therefore, I must think God's thoughts. I must desire God's ways. I must meditate in the mind of God day and night. Because I am bought with a price, I'm not my own. I lose my life in this world that I may gain it unto eternal life in that world. And they that gain their life in this world to their own selfish way of doing shall as Lucifer lose it in the world to come. So then tonight I feed off of the fruit of my thinking. What do you feed off tonight? You feed off of the fruit of your thinking. I made mention of this the other night. In this world, in this garden, there is something that is the nearest thing to man. Man is made in the image of God. Who is in the image of God? This part that we see, no. Who is in the image of God? The invisible man. Even those the Bible calls the sons of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like. That is, you can't see the image of God yet. But we know that when He appears in the heavens, we shall be like Him, but we shall see Him as He is. And the Bible said, everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. So then this image, there is somebody in this world. There is something that is in this garden. And that is something that is the nearest thing to a son of God. The Bible called Adam the son of God. There is something here, the nearest thing to a son of God. What is the nearest thing to a son of God? It is a thing called a man. It is a thing that is a beast. It walks just like Adam did. It walks like a son of God. It talks like a son of God. It acts like a son of God. It looks like a son of God. In the sense of our image at this time, we're all born to the flesh. You cannot tell the difference. They reflect the glory of God. They are very religious. They do the things that you do. So far as reflecting the glory of God. But beloved friend, on the inside they are corrupt. On the inside they have the love of the world. On the inside they're following after the tradition of men. On the inside they're desiring the gullible things of this life. On the inside their thoughts are rotten and their thoughts are evil and corruptible. But the Son of God is pure. The sons and daughters of God are holy, and on the inside they think the right thoughts, and they reject the wrong thoughts, and on the inside they're living upon the tree, the fruit of the tree of life, and they're feeding upon the thoughts that God has given them from that wonderful tree of life that produces the fruits of holiness that brings eternal life. But in this garden, that beast is there. Who is that beast? He's the old dragon. He's the serpent. He's that serpent that the Bible speaks of. He's that red dragon. You know, I used to wonder why that God called him a red dragon. I said, God, why do you call him a dragon? I remember Jesus. I remember John. And they looked at the people in that day when all the people ran together. He said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? He said, you generation of vipers. He said, bring me a proof of God in your life. Bring me a proof that you want to serve God and want to do the right thing. And I thought, Lord, he called him a generation of serpents. Jesus called him a generation of serpents. And I said, God, you called him the red dragon. How is it that they are a serpent? How is it that they are a dragon? God began to speak to my heart. And he said, son, the life is in the blood. And he said, that perverted life of Lucifer through the weakness of the woman and through Adam. Said that perverted spirit, that perverted life is in the world today and it's in people today. And said, just as in the days of Job when the sons of God came to present themselves, Lucifer also comes to the church in the body just like the sons of God come in the body. And when you as sons of God as the inner man and the inner woman, that is, you come to the church clothed with this garment of flesh, so does Lucifer come clothed in a garment of flesh. And you know what? The devil's got some that he'll bring in for no other purpose than to interrupt the service. He'll bring them in. They're sons and daughters of the devil, and they're not interested in the words of life, and they're not interested in anything God's doing. And they're up and out and in and out. And they're just there long enough for you to start trying to preach the word of God, and you cross their fancy, and you cross something, you say something they don't like, and up they go and out to disturb the whole congregation or to get the mind of the congregation to think everybody's leaving. They're of the devil. They're sent for that purpose to come to the house of God. For that purpose, they have to come there. They have to come there. Because everything has to give an account to God. The Bible said Satan went before God, and God said, Satan, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth. They have to give an account. Sons of the devil, daughters of the devil, they have to give an account to God. He's the great father of spirits. Over there in the Old Testament, when it said something was said about a spirit going down, deceiving a certain king or whatever, that was the devil that rose up in the presence of God and said, I'll go down there and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of their prophets and I'll deceive them. And he said, go. All of them are under the control of God. Lucifer, when he wanted to persecute Job, he came to God and he began to say, just give me a little leave and I'll go down and make him curse you to your face. And God said, it can't be done. Go down there, Satan, and do what you can. But I know that Job is a good man and a godly man. You may put him to the fire. You may stick the firebrands to him. But when Job gets out of it, he'll lift his hand and say hallelujah to God and give glory unto God and praise God as he comes out of his trials. A son of God will persevere. A son of God will hold his integrity. You cannot change the mind of a son of God. Scientists say when a man's mind's made up, you can't change it. And that's true. Once the man's mind's made up, get about 25 years old or whatever, you can't change it. It takes God to even change it for a new birth. So then we see that if we don't keep our garments, we'll walk naked. The serpent in the garden. And I said, God, what makes him the red dragon? And God said, it's that life. It's that gendered life of human concept. And said it is the blood that makes him the red dragon. Because that fallen angel, that perverted life, has gotten into man's bloodstream. And he said that life on the inside is just as if it would be in a pestilent or in a rat. Said that perverted nature of that rat has taken that life into prison. That pure life of God, which is the breath of life, that nature has taken it into prison, and that rogue is always causing problems. And he said, so it is when the nature of the devil gets into a person. He takes that breath of life into prison and he uses that breath of life to do what he wants to do with it. And he causes people to do perverted things, and he takes that body to perverted places, and he defiles that body so that God has to destroy it, because life cannot live in the midst of contamination. Therefore, God said he is the red dragon. He is the blood life ever since the fall of Adam, from human passion and human gendering and human reproduction. Said he is the blood life. And said, ever since Adam, that bloodstream has been defiled all the way from Adam down to Calvary. He said, but when I brought Jesus, He said, I brought him of another bloodstream. I created another blood cell. He said there was not a living human being that could atone for sin, because life is in the blood, and sin had contaminated the blood, and all blood was corruptible, and man had to die. But he said, when I brought another blood cell, though Jesus came and was made in the same image that you and I are made in, and the Bible said he was partakers of whatsoever we were partakers of. But the original rendering, the Greek word says partakers, but not all. That is, he partook of our image, but he did not partake of our blood. God gave him another blood cell. God gave him another start in life. He started something new. He cut off one life and started another life. This is why Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When Jesus hung at Calvary, he defeated Satan. The devil tried his very best to get into the body of Jesus. He'd done everything he could to get into that body. He tempted the Lord Jesus. He come against the Lord Jesus. He abused the Lord Jesus. He spit upon the Lord Jesus. He mocked the Lord Jesus. He reviled the Lord Jesus. But the Bible said he never reviled back one time. That body, that great, wonderful Christ, he never rose up in temper, not one time, to give that devilish power a chance to enter into his bloodstream. He defeated him. And when Jesus hung there at Calvary, Lucifer looked at him hanging upon the cross, and he knew that he was defeated. He knew that he was dethroned. And when Jesus hung there and spilled that royal blood to start another generation through life, he had to stand there and watch that blood come down, knowing that he was defeated and that God had overthrown him and that he had fell from his lofty state. So then, that missing link back there, there was a missing link. There's always been a missing link between God and man. That missing link has always been missing. All down through the ages it's been missing. And man's been cut off from God because of the missing link. And he couldn't get back to God because of the missing link. And then we say, Brother Pike, what do you mean a missing link? What is the missing link? The missing link between God and man was none other than the Son of God. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. And Adam, in the presence of God, having the Shekinah glory, was at that time the link between God's creation that was to reproduce. And when he fell from his lofty state and the Shekinah glory left him, he was not in his sonship anymore. He was not then the Son of God, but he fell to the beast level. And that missing link continued until today. That missing link, that thing that was there, that sonship, that Son of God was taken away. But when Jesus came as the second man, Adam, or he came as the restoration of the sonship, or he came down from heaven with that royal blood, God had started it through Adam in the beginning, a blood life, and that thing had fell to a beast level, and God had preserved it. And here he brought it back in the end time. He brought it back at Calvary, and he took that Son of God, that missing link, and he put him between humanity and God one more time. And tonight we have access to God through Jesus Christ. We have faith in God tonight because of the spilt blood of the Son of God. And tonight that sonship is back. That wonderful connection with God is back. And Jesus mediates between you and I to God. He stands in between. He's the mediator between man and God. Because he rose to God's level up here and related to God, and he come down to man's level and was made sin down here, that he might connect both of them together and restore the missing link. The devil knew that he was defeated. He was the one that broke that connection with God by the weakness of the body, by the weakness of the woman. He got in there and got to Adam through the weakness of the woman. The woman being typical of you and I. The woman being typical of the church, or the woman being typical of the flesh. Those that are weak, those that go out into the world, those that Jesus came to try to turn around and bring them back to God. Those that are human beings that wandered away from God. God, looking down from heaven, seeing the weakness of the female, weakness of the flesh, He sent His own Son, the second man Adam, to come and to get His wife. He sent Him to labor among the thorns, among the thistles, to take the nails, to take the thorns upon His head, so that He might redeem His wife, so that He might come and pick up that which was missing from God. So then we see, as the Bible said, the man was not in the transgression because he was the Son of God. Being that which showed Jesus, he could not be in the transgression. But the woman was in the transgression because she showed the weakness of humanity, whereas Adam showed God. But today that missing link is back in there. And today we have access to the throne of God, being able to come boldly before the throne of God, that we might receive help by the blood of Jesus, that which has been spilt. But beloved friend, we are nearing the time when the blood's going to come off of the seat of atonement. That blood has been resting up there ever since Calvary. And ever since Calvary, the devils and the demons have been able to go into the presence of God. And the devils and demons have been able to live in human bodies and go into churches and be ritualistic and be religious, because grace made way for a human body. And in that the human body has grace, and there is a period of grace, dispensational grace, then that means that you can be in the presence of God and still be a devil incarnate, still getting the mercy from God, in the sense that the doctors and the dentists and the other people around you are able to help you, and they're still healing medicines for you. But one of these days that's going to be over. One of these days you're not going to be in the presence of God. There's not going to be any healing for you. There's not going to be any soothing for you. There's not going to be any relief from pain. And the Bible said in that day there won't be any healing medicines. Medicines doesn't heal because of medicines. Doctors doesn't cure because of doctors. But because the blood of Jesus Christ is on the throne, that makes allowance both for the just and the unjust. And the rain is poured out upon all flesh. His Spirit is upon all flesh. And the rain is coming down upon the brine, upon the wheat. And so then at this time you can enjoy anything you want to. You can dispute with the preacher. I can stand up here and preach godliness unto you, and preach holiness unto you, and preach righteousness unto you. And I can say, if you don't do this, you're going to die and go to hell. You can jump up and say, Brother Pike, I'm just as happy as anybody. I'm having a good time. God's presence is with me just like it is with you. And I'm going on, and God shows me that He's with me too. And I can't dispute a word of it. Because as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, you are a reflector. And as long as God is up there atoning, that is through His flesh, for your sins, I can't say nothing. Because you're going to enjoy things just like I'm going to enjoy them. But beloved friend, there's coming a change after a while. There's coming a change after a while. They could stand back and they could mock Noah and they could say, Oh Noah, what are you talking about? Why, we're having a good time, Noah. But after a while, there came a change. And when the change came, they wasn't having a good time anymore. See, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, then the devils and demons, God's going to persecute them. God's going to follow them. You say, well, God torment them. The Bible said that when He went into the land of Gadara, and over there when legion run down to Him, the demons cried out and said, will you torment us before our time? When they begged for relief to go into the swines who run down into the ocean and drown themselves. You know, hogs have more sense than some people. They wouldn't dare let devils and demons live in them, while human beings will let devils live inside of them. And so it is tonight that the blood is ready to come off of the mercy seat. That's one thing that we're here in Eden for. It has a great typical symbolic sense or meaning. The blood is ready to come off of the mercy seat. That blood has been on the mercy seat. And as long as blood is on the mercy seat, it means that blood life can continue in the presence of God. But when that blood comes off of the mercy seat, it means that only spiritual life can continue from that point. It means no more blood life, and it indicates that the blood life is cast out of the presence of God. It indicates that the blood is off of the mercy seat. It indicates that the red dragon, which is the blood life, is cast out. And there is no more grace for them. Allison. I wish we had time to really get into a revelation tonight. But remember, the church is in the second heaven. Can you receive that tonight? The church is in the second heaven. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I'm in heaven down here? Brother and sister, the church is in the second heaven. Paul spoke of the third heaven. Revelation 12 speaks of a woman that stood with her feet upon the moon. And the Bible said the sun over her body, and she was illuminated. And on her head a crown of 12 stars. This woman apparently was in the second heaven. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says that she was travailing to bring forth a man-child that would rule the world with a rod of iron. And the Bible said the red dragon was laying right there ready to devour the child. Are you listening? And the Bible said as quick as that child was born, it was caught up to the throne of God. Where was it caught up to? It was caught up to the third heaven. Paul showed that over there when he said, it's not me living but Christ. And he said such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Therefore, that means that there is another dimension, and that child was caught up to the next dimension. But that woman that was heavy with child, she was in that second dimension or second heaven, and the Bible says that she went away into the wilderness, a place prepared for her. You say, but Brother Pike, was the woman in heaven? John said, I saw a great wonder in heaven. That woman was in heaven, but that woman went into a wilderness. How is it that the woman went into a wilderness when the Bible said that she was in heaven? Are you listening, beloved friend? You know what it was? The child being caught up to the third heaven. Now listen. And the red dragon in the second heaven, right there with the church now. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you mean I'm in heaven? I'll tell you what, I say this so often, not to be comical, but if you don't believe that this is heaven, you wait till you get down into hell and look back, and then you'll know that you've been in heaven. You can tell the difference between hell and heaven. This is the second heaven, the grace of God. The grace of God is around you. If you have a pain, you can go to a doctor. You can go to a dentist. But that blood is going to come off of the seat of atonement. When that blood comes off the seat of atonement, you're not going to be in heaven anymore. The Bible says that God's going to pour out His wrath upon the seed of the Antichrist and upon the members of the people that are the members of the beast, His body, and they're going to gnaw their tongue for pain, and their kingdom is going to be in darkness. That is intellectual darkness. They won't be able to find their way out of it. They won't have that brilliance of science to tell them how to get rid of the pain. They'll be in an intellectual darkness, and they'll literally gnaw their tongue for pain, and balls will cover their body, and then they will realize that they have been in heaven, and they will realize that they've had that chance to have the blessings of God and His wonderful protection. When God casts them out into His wrath, and the Bible teaches that there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought. Lucifer and his angels fought, and there was no place found in heaven anymore for that dragon. And the Bible said the old red dragon was cast out into the earth. What does it mean? It means the blood coming off of the mercy seat. Just as quick as the blood comes off of the mercy seat, then that means that no more blood life can be in the presence of God, and the days of grace will be over. But right now, the rain is upon the just and upon the unjust. When, beloved, will that come off of the mercy seat? How much longer do we have? Read in the book of Revelation, the 8th chapter, and the Bible said when them seven trumpets begin to sound, just before that there was 30 minutes silence in heaven. And the Bible said everything was quiet for 30 minutes. You know what it was? It was the blood coming off of the seat of atonement. When they looked and beheld that blood coming off of the seat of atonement, everything was paralyzed to the extent that nothing in heaven or earth that knew about it could speak. It was 30 minutes of silence. And the Bible said that angel came forth and he took a censer and he reached over and took a coal from that little golden altar that Moses spoke of that said in front of the veil which represented the Word of God. And he took that cold and he put it into the censer and he put it into this perfume that the Bible speaks of in the Old Testament that represented the prayers of the saints, which is bottled up in the presence of God. And when he took this perfume, he dropped that into that censer, and the Bible said from that censer there arose a great smoke, of this great wonderful cloud. I wish we had time to go into it tonight concerning Aaron. But the Bible said that when he got this censer, he took it and he slung it into the earth. And the Bible said when it went into the earth, there was thunderings and there was earthquakes and there was lightnings. And all of these things begin to take place. Why did they begin to take place at that particular time? Because the blood had come off of the seat of atonement and the wrath of God began to be poured out in the earth and all of these great things began to take place. The bombing, the blasting, the flashing of the bomb, the hailstones that mingle with blood, the Bible says, as shrapnel that flies around in the war. All of those four winds that the Bible spoke of in Daniel and spoke of in Revelation was turned loose. Those four winds of doctrine of Catholicism and communism and the other doctrines that we bring out concerning that. All of them begin to wrestle over the waters for the people, trying to get control of the people, wanting to set up their own thing in the earth, wanting to set up their own kingdom in the earth, wanting to have their own way in the earth. Daniel saw these things wrestling over the water. The four winds of the north, the south, the east, and the west, he said. And they were wrestling over the waters which John said was people. These great doctrines of communism and capitalism and Christianism, of communism. These things wrestling, trying to set up their own thing in the earth. Trying to get control of the people. But that angel that came from the east said, "Don't you touch anybody till I seal the servants of my God in the forehead." And the Bible said 144,000 was sealed according to the Bible. And then the Bible said after that, this angel went over and took that censer and threw that censer into the earth. And then came the lightnings and the thunderings and the earthquakes and whatever. That means that we're on the verge right now of the blood coming off of the seat of atonement. When that blood comes off the seat of atonement, then that means that the old serpent will be in the earth. Did you notice that one thing that you can tell about the old serpent? The Bible said that when God cast him out of the garden, he put him on his belly. And the Bible said today concerning those that labor for the belly, all of your labor's for your belly because your belly craves it of you. And the Bible said you made your belly your God. He took and put the old serpent on their belly. See, all of their labor's for their belly, whatever they labor for. And that gut lays in there. That intra lays in there, coiled up like a big snake with its mouth open. And the Bible said the appetite is never satisfied. God put him on the belly that he might eat of the dust all of his life and grow his food out of the dust because God put him on his belly. But when they went to take Jesus something to eat, he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of. For everyone that overcometh, I will give him of the hidden manna, that he might eat of this bread. For he said, he that eateth of this bread, Jesus said, shall live eternally." The wonderful bread of God. For he said, "My blood is drank indeed, and my flesh is meat indeed." If you do not drink my blood, and if you do not eat my flesh, he said, you don't have any life in you. The old serpent is on his belly today. You can tell him he's through the garden. You can tell he leaves a crooked trail everywhere he goes. And you can tell his old forked tongue because it's always going with gossip and backbiting and fault finding and blasting the things of God. Always exalting himself and speaking of himself, and all that he says is of himself. And the Bible said his witness is not true. He's the father of a liar. He's always talking about what he's going to be. He's going to be a banker, or he's going to be some celebrity, or he's going to be a president, or he's going to be some great person, some great athlete, or whatever. He's on his belly. Always talking about what he's going to be. Now listen, I don't want you to run away, but I want you to listen for a minute now. We're going to close in just a few minutes. I hate to go so fast sometimes at night, but I have to do this to keep the attention of some because some are just like babes. If you don't just keep their attention, they just like that. You lose their attention, they're cut off, or whatever, they lose interest. So you just have to drive like a man on a wild horse. to be able to keep the people's attention. That's bad, but you have to do it. We should be people that could listen to the gospel all night long and never bat an eye. That is in the sense of moving around or getting restless. But notice this. The Bible said that the woman was in heaven and the red dragon was right there waiting to devour the child just as quick as it was born. Now I want you to listen to this, and you may not agree with it, but it's so anyhow. You say, Brother Pike, what is the red dragon? It is the system of this world, and it is the blood life, and it is the dragon. It is that old serpent that's on his belly, all of his labor for his belly, all of his plans for his belly. Now listen, you say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that all of man's labor is for his belly? Somebody would say, but I see men build houses, I see men buy cars, I see men get jobs, I see men do many things. But have you ever thought of it like this? That a man buys an automobile for one reason, and that is so he can ride his belly over to the milkshake place. Have you ever thought that a man buys a house and puts a bed in it so he can let his belly lay down and rest all night long so he can wake up in the morning and get something else for his belly? You say, Brother Pike, is that right? That's absolutely what God says about it. The Bible said all of his labors for his belly. Whatever he does, it's for the convenience of his belly, that he might continue to feed his belly, because he is the serpent and God has put him on his belly. Now, the Bible said, labor not for the meat that perishes. So then here's that old dragon up there in the second heaven. There it is, the woman travailing. She's fixing to bring for the child. She's got her feet on the moon, which the Bible teaches is a symbol of the law and the prophets. It's founded upon the law and the prophets. And here we can get a beautiful picture of Israel. But at the same time, we can see another dimensional step and get a picture of the church. Founded upon the law and the prophets, even the lesser light, which is in the veil. And then we see the glory of God, which is the latter house, the light of the latter house. That is the light of the world. So much greater is the light. And the woman is glorified with it. And then we can see the stars upon her head, which is the teachings of the 12 apostolic leaders, or the crown of life that comes from the Word of God. There is the woman bringing forth a child. Here comes forth a child. And the red dragon is there. And who is the red dragon? The old serpent that's on his belly. The blood life. Now listen, what is the red dragon doing? The red dragon is there for one purpose. The Bible said that is to devour the child just as quick as it's born. Now look at a symbol of it in the day that we're living in. We speak about eating in this little place called Eden and the symbolic thing. But look at our day. The Bible said the woman had her feet upon the moon. When we are spiritual, everything talks to us. Because the Bible said the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the heavens, fill the earth. All of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. That means that everything in the earth is a type of the spiritual. And it'll come unveiled. And you'll know what the species in the earth means concerning the Word of God. And what the stars mean concerning the Word of God. For the Bible said the heavens declare His handiwork. So then, we look at the woman, which is America. We look at the moon, and she went to the moon. And the Lord said, if you make your nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. That is, let the old serpent that's on his belly crawl up to heaven. For the serpent has crawled up into the upper places, the Bible said. Up a little. But you make your nest up there. They took that little thing and they set it on the moon and called it a nest. Isn't that right? The intellectual powers of brilliance, Paul said, scientists so called. That is a false knowledge, not really the knowledge of God. When the knowledge of God comes, that'll look so out of shape until you want to throw it away. And as Paul said, count it all as dung. But nevertheless, the woman world, America, there she is emphasizing the footprints on the moon. You can even see it on the stamp. There was the little nest. And there was communism, or the old red dragon of communism, from the powers of China and Russia. When that communistic leader that was a killer came out of China and came over here and was there at the White House with Jimmy Carter. Oh, that is to say, somebody spoke of JC, or they painted him a little beard and I saw it, Jesus Christ. A symbolic thing of the man-child. But you know something? That's only a symbol. That's only a type. That's just there for those that can see spiritual and think spiritually. But on the other hand, this that God speaks of is a reality where the red dragon, the blood life, was waiting right there to devour the child as quick as it was born. Now listen, the woman was in heaven. Where is the woman tonight? She's in heaven. What is she doing tonight? She is heavy with child. She's travailing. The church is trying to bring forth. And what is happening? Everything that the church is trying to do, the devil is crossing it up. That red dragon is laying there, waiting to devour the child. You say, Brother Pike, how can the dragon that's on his belly devour the child? The old blood life. Now listen, the old blood life, it's laying there. The old intellectual powers from the tree of education and knowledge. It's contrary to God. Scientists that tried to speak him out of existence. Take away the reality of God. What are they doing? That blood life is laying there. And as that child is getting ready to be born, while the church is trying to bring forth and travail, here comes the old red dragon and says, you know what we need in the church? What we need is a good ball team. Are you listening? And the old blood life says, let's devour the child. Let's make a ball player out of him. Let's get him over here eating from the tree of knowledge. Let's bring him over here in this side where we're at. Let's do away with him. Let's keep him from being spiritual. Let's kill that spiritual thing. Let's do away with that spiritual part. And let's get him in our little clique over here. And let's get him in the side that we want him to be in. Come on, folks. I lost another one. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. It's so anyhow. And the devils and the demons that's out there in those human bodies, they've got those human bodies enslaved to the things of the world. They've got the love of the world in them. They don't care anything about God, and the lust of the flesh is there. And they've got their programs, and they've got their ball games, and they've got their frolics, and they've got their worldly doings. And every time a child of God seems to be coming into the world, they want to twist it around and get a hold of him and kill him spiritually and put him out there for their own benefit. The old blood life, trying to devour the spiritual child. You know, that was the same thing that Paul run into when he preached to the Jews. He said, you bunch of hypocrites. He said, the thing that you want to do is have circumcision in the flesh so you can glory in the flesh. He said, but I want you to know that God's circumcision is of the heart. It's not in the flesh. And the Bible said, in no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. Beloved friend, I don't care what you do in the flesh unless it's motivated by the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that's the only Spirit there is. In the beginning was God, God the Spirit, God the life. This is the only life there is. This is the only God there is. Unless what you're doing is motivated by the Word of God or by His Spirit, then everything that you do in the sight of God is abomination in the sight of God, and God will not receive it. It doesn't matter how great you make it look in the flesh, God will not have it. I think one of the most silly things I have ever seen in my life, and I feel like I have, if anybody could say it, I can say it because I've been all over the different parts of the world. I've been with the celebrities, I've been with all kinds of denominations, I've been with all kinds of preachers, and the most silliest thing I've ever seen in my life is some of these preachers of today that's trying to be so polished that they have to say every word just right, and they have to look just right, and they want to be in a palace when they go to preach over here. I wonder what John the Baptist would have done with them people. It's no wonder that when John came, he said the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Coming out there dressed the way he was among those long-robed celebrities, and all of them rabbis running out there loving the upper seat there in the synagogues and running out there with their long robes and standing around. John said, "You bunch of hypocrites." Somebody say amen. You say, "What are you talking about?" I'm talking about the truth, folks. I'm talking about the truth. Say, "Well, you don't have to shout at me." The Bible said, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet." It said, "Show my people of their sin." My people of their sins, not somebody else now, show my people of their sins. Said, because they delight in coming into my presence and they take pleasure in coming before me. He said, and they act like they haven't done anything wrong. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge. I've been fasting, God, I've been praying. God said, away with it all. I'm tired of your solemn assemblies. Folks, God don't care if you fast from now on. God don't care if you pray from now on. God don't care what you do. If you don't obey God's word and keep God's word, God won't have you. God told Saul, said, "Saul, you went over here and got all of this stuff to sacrifice unto me." Said, "Do I have pleasure in sacrifices? Isn't that the sacrifice of a fool?" He said, "When you come to the house of God, hold your tongue and be more ready to hear, and that faith cometh by hearing of the word. Be more ready to hear than give your opinion, which is the sacrifice of a fool. Pay your vows unto God, because God hath no pleasure in fools." He said, "Saul, I told you not to do that." Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, what we've done, we've really built this thing up." Now listen, folks. We've really made this thing shiny, and we've polished it up, and it's really something now. We've taken religion from across the tracks, and we've really polished this thing up, and while we've got everybody looking at it now. You know, that's what David did. He sent somebody down there and said, "The Ark of the Covenant's coming in. You go down there and get it." And somebody saw the Ark of the Covenant kind of go bumpity bump a little bit and wobble about a little bit. And they run over there and said, "Wow, we can't let this thing fall. We can't let this thing be reproached. Are you listening? Are you listening? We can't let them spit on you." Peter said, "Be it far from you, Lord. We'd never let them treat you like that." He said, "You devil, get behind me." Somebody say, "I love Jesus. For this cause came I into the world," he said. "And you stand there with your flattery and try to stop me from going to Calvary? Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?" Are you listening? Just the carnal mind of Peter was death and contrary to God. And they grabbed a hold of that ark, and when they laid their hands on that ark, God said, just like that, and killed them. And I'll tell you what, they got away from it, folks. And David got so scared he wouldn't even bring it into the city. You know what it is? We don't need to put our hands on the ark of God. We don't need to try to bring God's way of life up to a certain prestige. We don't need to look at God's thing like it's something over here that's off color, and we've got to add our little two bits, as we say, to it, to bring it up to where it'll have prestige and everybody will look at it. Don't you know that's foolish and that's childish? Folks, God done what he wanted to. He put the mud on the water. Do you know that in the days of that prophet, when that man come over there with leprosy, that prophet went out there, he wouldn't even go out there to him. He sent a servant out there to him, called the man was so starchy. He wouldn't even go out there. The man, in a rage, he throwed out his chest, as we would say. He turned away and he went, started to go his way. Are you listening tonight? I said he started to go his way because he was still starchy in the world. Started to go his way, and when he turned to go his way, even the little old servant had more sense than he did. And him a great leader, a great captain of hosts. But this little old servant said, "Look," said, "if that prophet had told you to do some big thing, wouldn't you have done it?" Are you listening? Said, "How much more does it make sense?" Said, "You're rotten. Your body's rotten. And folks, the people of today are rotten. They're rotten spiritually. They're rotten physically. Cancer, TB, I go into the hospitals, they're rotten and they're dying." He said, "Don't it make sense just to go down there in that muddy river and get some of the starch out of you?" And he didn't use those words. Get some of that starch out of you and get down that muddy water and get rid of the stink and get rid of the rottenness and straighten up and be made whole? I said, don't that make more sense than to turn away and go where you're going and rot and die? With leprosy, are you listening? You know, he stood out there, he said, now why didn't he send me over to the rivers of Damascus, the rivers of Afar? He said, they're clean waters. You know, somebody said, you mean I got to go out there with that crowd? Are you listening? I got to get out there with those people? How come you don't send me over to the first church, somebody said. You know why? You know why? That little prophet that was standing out there, he looked down through the telescope of time. He had a vision. He had a spiritual understanding. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, going down to the muddy Jordan. And he knew the power of deliverance was in the muddy Jordan. And God let the mud be there to hide it from the face of these critics. He wanted that mud to be there so it would hide it, so that they wouldn't be able to monopolize off of it and turn the house of God into a place of merchandise. That's why God did it. See, that prophet didn't see the Lord Jesus going down to the rivers of Damascus. He saw John the Baptist taking him down to the river of Jordan. That's where the healing was. But the man was blind. A little bit of mud almost caused him to miss his healing. Folks, let me tell you something. You listen to the stuff that's out yonder in the world, and you listen to the people out there in the world, and you try to associate with somebody because you think they're some kind of celebrity or they've got some higher level in society than you have. That's foolish. That person stinks in the sight of God. What you need to do is get away from them. And keep your holiness in God, your righteousness in God, your godliness in God. And let a sweet-smelling savor come up in the nostrils of Almighty God from you and get away from that thing out there. Because it's rotting on the vine. Get away from them folks. Stay away from them folks. And when they want to get so dignified and get into the things of the world out there, you get away from them. When they want to get into worldliness and try to turn you into something to where you can labor for Pharaoh down there with the garlic and the onions and keep making brick for his cause, you get away from him. Don't let him enslave you. Don't let him enslave you. Somebody says, what you need to do, you need to go to college, young lady. Are you listening? I'm going to stop in a minute. I know I need to stop, but just hold on. Just bob your hair off above your ears and put your dresses up above your knees and make them just as form-fitting as you can get and paint your face up like a Jezebel. Are you listening? And come over to our office, dear. You harlot, you prostitute. Are you listening? That's what Jezebel done when God fed her to the dogs. He had to get a eunuch, somebody that wasn't given to passion to do it, but that's what he done. God is going to feed the world to the dogs. You say, who are the dogs? Jesus said, they that are without are dogs and they are swine, and the Gentiles of this world that rejects God and mocks God are dogs, and God's going to feed them to the dogs. He's going to let the dogs devour one another. And all of those that's supposed to be a church, a Jezebel church, God is going to feed them to the dogs. He's going to turn them over to the Gentiles. Did you know that right now the Gentiles are literally devouring the false church today? Did you know that? They are literally devouring it. Did you know that God had Moses grind that stuff up down there that Aaron had given to them? All of that gold and that silver and all of this paganistic practice and worship, he ground it up and he put it in the water and he made them drink it. They're going to swallow down a bitter cup. Folks, I'm telling you like it is tonight. Get away from that thing. Get ball games out of the church. Get the powder and the paint off. Quit bobbing off the hair. Quit raising your dresses up above your knees, lady. You men, quit running around in pistol-legged pants like you molded and poured into them. And get down to godly living. And the Bible said be sober, and the women ought to be grave, and the men ought to be grave, and we ought to have holiness. And the Bible said our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. Somebody say amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about eternal life, folks. I'm talking about people that's going to heaven. I'm talking about the real thing tonight. The real, genuine thing. So then the blood is just ready to come off of the mercy seat. And when it comes off of the mercy seat, everything that wanders after the beast will perish. Now listen, and I'm going to say this in closing. What is the beast? Everything that is not the body of Jesus is the beast. And everybody will wonder after the beast. The Bible said that all of the world wondered after the flesh. Are you listening? It said they wondered after the beast. And what is the beast? It is the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the beast, of the flesh. They all wondered after the flesh. Preachers wondered after the flesh. Women wondered after the flesh. Youth wondered after the flesh. All of them wondered after the flesh. And listen now, you say, what is the flesh? Powder and paint and lipstick and bobbed hair and form-fitting clothes to commit adultery, to do the evils of this world, to let your passions go to ball games, to frolic, to eat and drink and be on your belly. Wandering after the beast. All of them was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, wandering after the flesh, wandering after the beast, not after the Spirit. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Don't make any provisions for the flesh. Somebody say, bless God, if I ever get out of this place, He won't give me back tomorrow night. But I'll tell you what. Won't be no need to. He said, preach the gospel to every creature, and you done got it now. You got a carrot with you, and you can't do nothing about it. I'll meet you over yonder. I'll meet you over yonder. At that judgment, I'm going to meet you up there, and then you're going to have the chance to come up and look at me and say, Brother Pike, what you said about that wasn't true. If that's the way it works. But if it don't work that way, then you're going to meet me over yonder, and that God that told me to say these things is going to be standing right there looking at you. And you know what? You'll be speechless. You won't be able to say nothing. You love the Lord? God sent me to Eden, folks. I didn't come here just to come here. He sent me to Eden. I came here to preach the gospel. As I said, we'd just come back from Israel, had gone down the street of Dolorosa speaking something the Lord had put in my heart concerning the end time. You know what that was? That the time is fulfilled and the desolation thereof is nigh to repent and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Down the street of Dolorosa inside of the holy city, I screamed it out to the top of my voice where Jesus drug His cross. Amid all of the commotion, for it sure caused the commotion, this meeting and us being here in Eden has to do with that very thing. I love you, Brother Pike is not trying to mock you. I am not trying to be contrary to you. You've been a lovely audience. You've been a lovely people. But it's like a man said one time, when you put a board on, you have to nail it on good so the wind don't get it. I want to be sure tonight that I say this thing in an emphatic way and emphasize it in such a manner that every person will lay this thing to heart. Now, I stand to be reproved after the service if there's any man or woman here that desires to come to my face and tell me anything. You can meet Brother Pike and tell Brother Pike, because that's the kind of preacher I am. All you got to do is come. I just tell you one thing, don't come with your ideas. Come with the Lord and the Word. All right. I told you this tonight because we're trying to bring you the Word of God, and from night to night we're going to teach these things, comparing as the Holy Ghost would, spiritual things with spiritual. This is the truth. This is the truth. You're hearing the truth tonight. You take the Word of God. You go home and you search the Word of God and you try your very best to find out what Brother Pike said and understand it. Try to do it. Even try to prove me wrong if that's the way you feel about it. But the more you do it, the more you're going to get under conviction, and the more you're going to say, God, as sure as I live in this world, that's the way it is. God had one church. One church. They were all in one mind. He said, let them all speak the same thing. Brother, what I'm speaking tonight is that one thing that God ordained. Holiness and your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof everlasting life, because God is the Spirit of holiness, and He is the only Spirit of eternal life. Without that Spirit of holiness, He said, you're none of mine, or you don't have eternal life. So then, beloved friend, tonight, as I say these things, remember there's one church. We should speak the same thing. If I'm speaking the truth tonight, then that means anybody speaking anything contrary to it is either of the devil, or they are in ignorance and they've got exile and they need somebody to go help them find the light. If they are the right people, when you take the light to them, the elect, they will receive it. If they are the wrong people, they will reject it. Paul preached to some people and shook his raiment. And the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, that is the elect, they believe. And the rest of them did not believe. Therefore, if they are in ignorance and they don't understand, they'll receive the light. And if they don't, they are of the devil, and you need to get away from it and stay away from it. I want you to stand with me tonight, if you will. Appreciate all of you coming tonight. Appreciate you coming out from night to night. It's been several nights that you've been here with us. Some of you have been here with a regularity. Now, I felt the devil tonight. I was trying to preach the Word of God and bring it to you in a calm, collective way that we might take plenty of time and not hurry and yet not keep you late. But I noticed there was a number of people tonight, and they just out like that. Not a lot of them, probably three, four at the most, one now and one then. Now, every now and then, a person has to leave because they have a job. Some of them have to get up, I believe, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I understand, I really do. Those that have to ease out, sometimes they have to go. But any individual that would walk out and God speaking is nothing less than a fool. Are you listening? Even if the president was speaking, it wouldn't be wise to walk out. But the Bible said it's not the minister that speaks, but it is God that speaketh from within you. And did you know that any person that would walk out is nothing less than a fool? But a person that has to leave, a person that has a purpose in leaving, a person that has their job and really doesn't want to leave, but they are caught in between, God understands. God will work with them. It would be better a person lose their job than to walk out on God. He'll give them a better one. I've seen this happen in our meetings. But nevertheless, people are pressed with necessity and they're very fearful. And they lean on the arm of flesh and they don't know anything but to make a living, and they worked on their job for years and they're going to have to retire soon. And they don't want to lose their seniority. I understand that. God understands that. He's a very loving, thoughtful God. And He works with people, people that have to do that. Brother Pike understands. When you're pressed with necessity, you have to go out to the restrooms and come back. I understand that. That doesn't create a bad spirit. Because you don't have a bad spirit when you're leaving. You don't have a bad spirit when you're going out. But when a person rudely, because they don't like what you said, because it cut across their grain, when they know they got a devil on them and they need to get the devil off of them, when that person walks out, it is the devil walking out from under this tent. But the Bible said the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. And that person either has to get the devil off of them and let God clean them up and get into the flow of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, or that devil will take that chaff and take it out the door. That person is a fool. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Folks, everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody's not going to receive this. Because this is the rapture. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the rapture, Brother Pike. I'm waiting for the translation. That is true. If you are waiting, as you walk in the Word and you live in the Word and you conform to the Word, it is very true that you really are. But beloved friend, just because you belong to some kind of a church and you are religiously convicted, that does not mean that you're waiting for the rapture, because you are going through the tribulation. You are very definitely not going in the rapture.
sing this tonight in closing. The rapture is a translation. It's not what you think it is. It's a translation. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. One of these nights, if Jesus tarries and he permits, we're going to preach on the rapture and the way it takes place. I thought for a long time it was a certain way, and I was so mixed up I didn't realize it. I'd been taught it that way. I didn't know any better until God opened my eyes. I was blind like Paul till he opened my eyes with the revelation. But Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. The rapture is a translation by faith, and that faith by the hearing of the Word of God in conformity. While you're standing there tonight, remember what Paul said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. Let's sing a chorus tonight. While we're standing here tonight, let's sing a chorus. You think these things over. At night when you come, or when you come to the tent, or come to hear the word of the Lord, come with an open heart. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Come to listen. Come to hear. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Come to fellowship. Bring somebody with you. And if this isn't the truth, don't go away and not come back. But be a real man or a real woman and come to Brother Pike and say, Brother Pike, that is not the truth. And if you're right, God will love you. And if you're wrong, woe be unto you. You say, well, I don't know. Well, you need to come back if you don't know. Stay till you know. Let's sing this chorus together. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Can you sing with me? Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you really love the Lord? Do you want to go to heaven? Oh, folks, it's not what you think it is. It takes a different thing altogether. We need to listen. The church is getting ready to go out. You say, Brother Pike, I know what's going to translate the church. I say this with all reverence and respect. If you've got what's going to translate the church, why hasn't it already been translated? If they've been preaching what's going to translate the church, why hasn't it already been translated? There must be something somewhere. At the sounding of the last trump, the mystery should be finished. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. evermore. You know, I remember something one time. I was down in the valley in Alabama. And I was preaching there. And the man heard me. And after the service, he come to me. He heard me preach. I have numbers of people that come to me. And he come to me, and he was an overseer in one of the outstanding movements in a denomination. It was a denominational thing. And he came to me and said, I want to talk with you, preacher. I said, all right. He said, just come over to my trailer, and we'll talk. So we went over to the trailer, and we sat down. And he said, now, I want to find out some things. I said, all right, sir. I said, now I ask you to do one thing. I said, the Bible said, let every man be a liar and the word of God be true. Is that right? He said, that's right. I said, now when we start this conversation, I only ask one thing of you. I said, the Bible said every man's ways in his right is right in his own eyes. I said, that means my ways are right in my eyes and your ways are right in your eyes. I said, so let's forget about all of that. And whatever we discuss tonight, I said, let's go back and prove it by the word of God. He said, I'll do it. So he was going to show me where I was wrong. He was an overseer. And it was late over in the morning when we finished. When we finished, he raised up and he said, preacher, as I live before God, he said, this is the truth. And if I had the power, I'd change that denomination I'm in and everybody in it into this. And he went his way and left the denomination and set him up a church and has been out ever since preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord? You say, Brother Pike, do you mean that against the denominations? I certainly do not. I believe in people being organized in something and standing for something right. But I tell you what, there's a lot of corruption among the people and it needs to be got out. And if you're going to stay in your church, you need to help shovel it out. And if you can't get it out, then you need to get out of that church and get somewhere and get in a place where the Lord can talk with you, friend. You love Him? While Brother Taylor's playing on the organ tonight, I wonder if once again you'd step out up here and take a few minutes for God. The Bible said, take time to be holy. I know you need to go home, beloved friend. I know that you do, and I know that it's late, and I know that you got to get up early, but God will give you extra strength. If you'll come up here and take a little time for God, God will add years to your life. Did you know that? Hezekiah, you remember him? God added 15 years to a man's life one time because he took a little time for God. But did you know there's people in the graveyard today that didn't have no time for God? They could have lived longer, but they lived a short life. You know why they lived a short life? They didn't have any time for God. They was too busy to take a little time for God. They could take time for everything, but they couldn't take time for Jesus. Can you take a little time for God tonight? If you take a little time for God tonight, God will bless you. I'm thankful for the saints of God tonight. I'm grateful for those that love Jesus. Something is taking place tonight. You're God's people. God loves you tonight. God wants to heal you tonight. God wants to save you tonight. God wants to supply your needs tonight. God wants to supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. And it has been said that He hangs His gates of pearls and paves His streets with gold. He's got a lot of riches in glory, folks. And God wants to meet your need tonight. Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you stand for the right thing? Can you ask for the old paths and walk therein? If you do, you'll find rest to your soul. Some lady made the statement today to somebody, said, you know what? Said, I have really enjoyed that preaching. Said, that's the kind of preaching that I heard years ago. Real holiness. You know what? That is true. It's the old past. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there's more to it today. It's the unveiled mystery and the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's picking up the old past and laying the mystery down upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Because that's the only way that the pyramid can come is to set down upon the lively stones that has been built up into a holy priesthood, even a habitation for God. So then tonight, it is good to ask for the old paths, and you will find peace. Don't move the landmarks of the old fathers. They established that for your good and for my good. And they're there for a guideline that we might find our way today.
And when you preach the gospel, don't compromise. Don't compromise. There's billions of people in the world today. And the Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can preach the gospel today to those billions of people that are waiting to hear you. Just because there's some person that's in hypocrisy, or some little social clique, or somebody that believes in what they believe in, it won't come to the Word of God. Because they're in your community or your era, and they seem to be prospering, and they seem to have a hope, and they want to put their finger on you and oust you, or put you out of the synagogue because you won't conform to their way of life. Don't pay any attention to them. God will deal with them in a time to come. They won't last long. David said, I've seen the wicked spreading himself like a green bay tree. Think about that. I've seen the wicked, said he was spreading himself like a green bay tree. But said all of a sudden, said he was cut down. And there was no remembrance of him. He said, I said to God one time, he said, Lord, this wicked people, said they're spreading out like a green bay tree, and they prosper, and their children are full, and they dance. And said, I've cleansed my hands in vain. Said, but about the time I was taking those thoughts, God took me down to the place where I needed to be and showed me the end of the wicked. And he said, they're suddenly cut off, and there's no remembrance of them. So, beloved friend, you're God's children. You're God's jewels. You're God's outstanding people. You're the ones that God loves and God cares for. While you're standing here tonight, will you lift your hands up with me? Taking a little time for Jesus, because he took time for you. Can you tonight take time to be holy? Can you do it, beloved friend? Can you lift up your hearts? You're God's sons and daughters. Remember this. Remember this. You're God's sons and daughters. This thing's going to reverse after a while. The Bible said this intellectual system will wear out the saints of God. But after a while it'll change, and the saints of God will get a new courage and a new strength. And the Bible said they will rise up and take the kingdom. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And he will reign forever and forever. And they'll reign and rule with him forever. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Did you know that you're on the verge of taking over right now? Did you know those that are out there have already run their course and gone as far as they can? And they don't know what to do from here on out. And they're on the verge of blowing the world to pieces. They've done popped so many bombs in the ocean. Lucifer, the red dragon, making the deep to boil like a pot. Did you know they've busted the earth all to pieces and it's cracked like an eggshell? And those great earthquakes that the Bible speaks of that will cause all of the great buildings of the nation to crumble, all of the cities of the nation to crumble, did you know they're right at hand? Like that thing running over out there near Washington State? Do you realize the saints are about to ready to take over? They're about ready. Did you know that you're sons and daughters of God? And you own the world and eternity, the universe and all that is in it. Did you know that you own it? And did you know all those people out there that's in that intellectual field that's got a hold of that, that's taking you into captivity and making you servants? Those Egyptian powers out there, do you realize that those things are an abomination in the sight of God? Are you aware of the fact that they are an abomination in the sight of God? And God is about to overthrow them because they are what you call squatters? And God's going to run an abstract on his properties. And he's going to prove to you that them are squatters. And God's going to put them off and give you your inheritance. And you're going to possess it forever and ever because you're his sons and daughters. That thing is near at hand right now. You are God's sons and daughters. Now you listen to this a minute. And you might not agree with it. But I want you to think on it. You are not mere human beings tonight. Do you hear me? You are not mere human beings tonight. You say, what are we, Brother Pye? You are gods. You know what a god is? A god is something that can't die. Something that can't die is a god. It lives on and on and on. You know, they wanted to stone Jesus one time. And Jesus said, why do you want to stone me? For what good work do you want to stone me? They said, for good work, said, we don't want to stone you. Said, well, why do you want to stone me? Said, you being a man, you make yourself God. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that I have called you gods? said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men because of the lack of knowledge of knowing your Godship. Isn't that something? And I searched back through the scriptures and I went back through the Old Testament because I knew he had to be quoting from the Old Testament. And I went back there and I checked it out. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit speaking through the prophet said, ye are gods. That that cannot die is a god. Those people out there, beloved friend, they have to die. You say, Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. How then can we pass death? Now listen, you can. Paul said, I got a mystery. You don't have to sleep. They don't have to throw dirt in your face. You don't have to be put in a coffin. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man to die. He must die. He must die. If that's true, what are you going to do with them that the Bible speaks of being changed, that Thessalonians changed? What are you going to do about those that go in the rapture? They're not going to die. If it's appointed unto man wants to die, why is it they're not dying? Why should we die if they don't have to die? Are you listening? You don't have to die. What it is, Satan has deceived the people. But now we're coming to the light. We can be changed. Enoch was translated by faith. He should not see death. We're going to speak on that one night. God being a helper, we're going to speak on it one night. You don't have to die. Why is that? It is appointed unto man once to die. But it is not appointed unto sons of God to die or unto gods to die. Jesus tasted death for us at Calvary, and we pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. He lifted the appointment. The Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. Succored them at a time appointed, even Calvary. So lift your hands up. Close your eyes tonight. Think of this wonderful thing that's about to take place. You say, what is it, Brother Pine? The saints of God are fixing to discover something. A mystery. They're fixing to get into something. They're fixing to realize how the devil has blinded the people down through the years, and that God never did intend for them to die, that God hath no pleasure in death, and death is the enemy of God, and God is against it, and he wants you and I to rise up against it. And God is against sickness, and he went about healing all that was oppressed of the devil. So then tonight, let's lift our hands and close our eyes. We're fixing to get into something, folks. It's time for the translation. It's time for the change. We've got to get our faith in something that's going to take us out of this world. And if you don't hear it, you can't believe it. You've got to know it. You've got to hear it. And then you can believe it. And if it's the thing that says you'll go out by His Word, He'll take you out. By His Word, He created you. By His Word, He healed you. By His Word, He created all things. By His Word, He translated Enoch by faith. And by faith in His Word, as you hear it, understand it, as the mystery is brought forth, at the sounding of the last trumpet, you're going to hear it, believe it. It's going to translate you like it did Enoch. You love Jesus tonight? Let's just lift our hands and love Him tonight. Let's sing that chorus again while we lift our hands and close our eyes. Can we do that tonight? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Now sing it like this with me. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Now while you're standing there tonight, If there is a person that would like to be prayed for tonight, if you'd like to have prayer for your body tonight, I'd like to pray for you. You'll step up here. I'll lay hands on you. Night to night, we're going to lay hands on you. We won't be holding you this long unless the Lord gets in it, and we'll be praying for you a lot earlier to where some that's already gone will have a chance for us to lay hands on them and pray for them. The Bible teaches that we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that right? We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. The Lord stood for three things that He stood for. One thing that He preached was doctrine. Another thing He preached was revelation. And another thing that He stood for was power, because He preached deliverance. So then these three things are necessitated by the human life. We have to do this. The preacher must do this. If you will, let's just step right here. And let's just pray. I'll pray for you. And you that's got your hands up, your eyes closed, will you do that and pray with me as I pray for this sister that's come up to be prayed for? If you want to be prayed for, you just step right up here and we'll be glad to pray for you. Let's just believe together. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of your Son Jesus, I ask Thee the forgiveness of my sins by the blood of Jesus. And I ask You the forgiveness of this sister's sins by the blood of Jesus. And I ask You tonight to heal, O God, whatever there would be in this body tonight, whatever the hindrance is, whatever the disease is, I want You to heal tonight. I want You to make her well as I feel the anointing of God right now. As I feel the quickening of Your Spirit, God moving through this body. Father, heal tonight. Praise God. I feel God here tonight. Do you feel the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If you want to be prayed for, just step right up here. Just step right over here, sister, if you will. We'll pray for you. God will do something for you tonight. Just come right over here. Praise God. Just lift your hands up and believe with me tonight. Father God of heaven, as I pray for this little lad tonight, I pray that You will heal him. Father, whatever the need is tonight, I want You to heal him. God, heal this little body. Father, make it well. Make it well. I feel You doing something for him now. Father, heal in the name of Jesus. Dear God, I want these people healed in Eden. God, they're receiving Your word and they're listening to Your word. And You said, if I go into a place and they hear the word of God, heal the sick. And Father, we speak healing by the word of God in Jesus' name tonight. Father, heal this little lad. Father, heal this sister tonight. May the great, wonderful Spirit of God be here. May faith go out tonight. Oh God, let faith go out tonight. Father, to heal tonight. Break every yoke tonight. Whatever the disease is, whatever the discomfort of this body is, Father, whatever the oppression is, heal in the name of Jesus tonight. Praise God. I feel God doing something right now. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little girl tonight. I want You to heal this little girl in the name of Jesus tonight. Let that divine healing that comes down from heaven tonight touch this little lady in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. May Your Spirit come down. And dear God, the Spirit that we feel here in the midst of us tonight, I want You to heal, Father, by that Spirit. I want You to stretch forth a healing hand. Oh, God, and heal tonight in Jesus' name. Father, heal my sister tonight. Touch her body tonight. God, she's come here a number of nights with the devotion. Oh God, consecrated toward listening and growing in the great knowledge of Jesus. I want You to heal tonight, Father, and do something for this body. Lord, You're concerned about our bodies as well as the spirit. In Jesus' name, I want You to heal it. Father, heal this sister tonight. May the great Spirit of God bring strength to this body. Oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight, heal, I pray. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the power of God be here and may the healing of God be here. May the great Spirit of God touch my sister. Lord, may her faith be elevated in the love of God. Hallelujah. In the love of God, in Jesus' name. God, touch Billy tonight. Father, may your Spirit be upon this man tonight. May this back condition be taken away. Father, may the problems be taken away. May every habit be broken. Father, Lord, everything that's unlike Jesus until he can be victorious. And oh God, be a testimony in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch my brother tonight. May the great Spirit of God rest upon him. Lord God, in this diligence to understand, Father, this desire to walk with you. Oh God, open my brother's understanding in a great way, and let the anointing of God be upon him, and let him be a testimony. Father, stretch forth your healing hand tonight in the wonderful name of your Son Jesus. I ask you to do it. Father, touch my sister tonight. May your Spirit be here. May your blessings be here tonight. May the power of God be here. Oh God, inspire our faith tonight. Moved by your Spirit, Father, and let the healing power of God be here tonight. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight? Do you really love Jesus tonight? I want us to sing a little chorus tonight. Last night I felt faith in a tremendous way last night. And I want to feel that same faith here tonight. It was in the people last night, and I know it can be here tonight. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? It's coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of my Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Now last night you worshiped God. Last night you lift up your voices to God, and the Spirit of God was moving and faith was high last night. And I would have just loved to pray for the sick last night, but I kept you a little long. And tonight, a purpose of my heart, though I kept you long, I'm still going to pray for the sick. So let's take a little time for Jesus. Can you sing that again now? Now it says, when the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of God is coming down. All right, let's sing it again. Can we? Oh, it's coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of my Lord is coming down. And when the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. One more time. Coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Now lift your hands up and love the Lord for just a minute tonight. Lift your faith up to God tonight and believe in the behalf of these people tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little boy tonight. I want you to heal this little boy. And oh God, I want you to touch this mother tonight and heal this mother. Father, whatever the condition is tonight, I want you to heal it. I want you to stretch out a healing hand tonight to these people. I want these people to be able to worship you, Father. I want them to feel the power of God tonight or the Spirit of God tonight. I want you to do something for them. Bring it tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Move by your Spirit tonight. Heal this little sister, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. May the power of God be here. May the Spirit of God be here tonight, Father. Oh God, as I lay hands upon this mother, I want you to heal this mother tonight. I feel you healing tonight, God, and I feel your power, and I feel your blessings here tonight, God, as you pour out of your Spirit upon us tonight. I ask you to touch this mother in the wonderful name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands up tonight and love the Lord? Folks, let's praise God tonight. Lift your hands up tonight and let's love the Lord tonight and tell God how we feel about Him in our hearts tonight. We need to love God. We need to praise God. And we need God to do something for us tonight. Can you do that? Can you love the Lord tonight? Let's praise the Lord. Come on, folks, let's praise the Lord. Come on, folks, let's praise God. I've seen people praise God and the Spirit of God came down. I've seen people praise God and God healed. I've seen people praise God and people were saved. And tonight, if we praise God, God will come down in this tent tonight. Let's love the Lord tonight. Can you lift your hands up and love God tonight? Can you lift your hands up and love God tonight? Can you praise God tonight? Can you say something to God tonight to find God's favor? God is the Spirit. God inhabits the praise of His people. You'll never have God in your heart until you learn how to praise God. You'll never have God in your heart until you learn how to praise God. When you start praising God, then God comes down. When you start praising God, then the Spirit of God will come down in your heart. Folks, you gotta praise God. You are a temple of praise tonight. People that do not praise God do not have anything. People that do not praise God do not have the Spirit. But when you praise God, then the Spirit of God comes down. You say, Brother Pike, I just praise God by not saying anything. There ain't no such saints of God. There ain't no such saints of God. People praise God. People praise God. People praise God. Lift your hands up tonight and praise God tonight. If you can't lift your hands up and praise God, how do you expect God to do anything for you? It's going to take praising God. It's going to take praising God. This is why I preach tonight against the starchy churches. This is why I preach tonight against that formality. The devil is killing the church tonight. The devil will tell you not to praise God. He'll tell you that's not Christ's way. He'll tell you not to praise God, but he'll drag you off to the ball game and have you to holler your lungs out. And the same dignified people that won't lift their hands to praise God acts like a bunch of heathens at a ball game. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, we need to get loose. We need to turn loose. We need to break that yoke of bondage. We need to get out of that starchy way and love the Lord and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want God to heal, don't you? I want God to save, don't you? I want God to meet with us in this revival, don't you? I want God around you when I go to pray for the sick at night. And folks, I can't have God's here if we don't praise God. If we don't love the Lord, He won't be here. You say, I'm one of them quiet Christians. God don't have any kind like that. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm one of them quiet Christians. God don't have any quiet Christians. Neither in heaven, neither in the earth, neither under the earth. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, I heard everything in heaven. I heard everything in the earth. I heard everything that was dead and in the grave or under the earth saying, hallelujah and glory and praise and honor unto God. God don't have any quiet Christians, folks. Hallelujah. If you love, you say, who's supposed to praise the Lord, Brother Pike? The Bible said everything that hath breath, everything that was in heaven, everything that was in the earth, everything that was under the earth, everything that hath breath, let them praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? I feel the Lord. Let's just praise God for a few more minutes before we go, folks. Can we do that tonight? Lift your hands up and let's love God tonight. Let's break the yoke tonight, the bondage tonight, by letting God come in you tonight. And let God bless our spirits and our souls tonight. Hallelujah. You're wonderful people. You're God's people. The Bible said praise is comely for the upright. You're God's upright people tonight. Praise is comely for the upright tonight. You need to praise God. God loves you tonight and God wants you to praise Him tonight. And I'll tell you what, I challenge your faith in God tonight. That if you'll praise God tonight, God will heal you tonight. I challenge your faith in God tonight. God will heal you tonight. If you'll praise God tonight, God will heal you tonight. You'll feel the divine deliverance of God. You'll feel the healing power of God and God will do something for you this very night, folks. All you got to do is praise God. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Come on, folks, get loose. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? The Bible said everything was saying hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah tonight? Can you say praise the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Don't be afraid you'll overdo it. Hallelujah. I feel like saying hallelujah. Dad, don't you feel like saying hallelujah? Don't you feel like saying hallelujah? Come on, folks, say hallelujah. Turn it loose and let God heal you tonight. Let God's Spirit come down and touch you tonight. Lift up your voices and praise God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I feel like saying hallelujah. Still feel like saying hallelujah. You know, I've seen the Spirit of God come down numbers of times in my life, and the people begin to praise God, and they just couldn't seem to quit. The Spirit of God would begin to move, and people got so happy, and they felt so good, and they got a new strength from God, and they just didn't want to stop saying hallelujah and praise the Lord. What a wonderful thought tonight to be a Christian. I feel God doing something tonight. The devil wants to keep the praise out. He wants to keep us under the bondage of the intellectual mind. See, God can't move if we do that. God can't heal the body if we do that. We've got to have that quickening spirit from heaven to touch our body to get our healing. We've got to have that quickening spirit. The Bible said the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. The Bible said God wants to quicken your body by that spirit. Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. You say, you don't have to holler, Brother Pike, but I get excited. I can't help it. I get excited over this thing. You love Jesus tonight? Let's sing this chorus together. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Do you believe that? Oh, let us praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. We're going to praise Him. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. I was way down in Texas one time. They called for me to pray for a woman, and I went over to this house along the border there, down near Mexico, went there to pray for this woman. I thought I'd go in and say some encouraging words to her because she was dying. And I went in that room and I got in there and I looked down at her little frail body and I began to talk to her and I began to try to tell her about Jesus and the love of God. And she looked up at me and raised the little old frail hand and she said, praise Him in the morning. Said, praise Him at the noontime. She said, praise Him when the sun is going down. I said, dear God, I came here to encourage her, and she encouraged me. Praise Him, folks. Let's think that again, can you? Oh, let us praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. I want to praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Won't you praise Him when the sun's going down? One more time. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Oh, let us love Him. I want to love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Sing it like this now. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heavens come down, oh, that heavens come down. And sometimes I feel like heavens come down. Heavens come down on me. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord now? Close your eyes again. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in these meetings. He really does. God is already healing. I felt God healed here. I felt God healed as sure as you live. I felt the healing power of God last night. And I felt God heal. And folks, God wants to do something in these meetings. And God is doing something in these meetings. And I want you to watch. I want you to believe. I want you to look. I want you to check up. Because if you've had diseases in your body and things has been wrong in your body, you're going to find out that God has healed them. And you're going to find out that God's moved them. And you're going to find out that something has happened. Now you watch and see that I'm telling you the truth. You watch and see God's word can't be broken. And God said He will do it, and God will do it. Hallelujah. Don't you believe God tonight? Don't you believe it? God wants you healthy tonight? Don't you believe it? God wants you healed tonight? Do you believe it? God's respect a person tonight? God wants you healthy. God wants you healed. Sickness is of the devil, and God has nothing to do with it. God wants you happy. God wants you healed. The Bible said serving God's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, folks. And the more healthy you are, the more happy you can be. God wants you healthy. Don't let your thoughts think anything but the wonderful blessings and love and kindness and fullness of God. Don't let your thoughts think any other way, because God's going to feed you the fruits of your thinking. And if you think on sickness and you think on poverty and you think on failure and you think on defeat, you're going to be a defeated person and a sick person. But if you think on health and happiness and godliness and the promises of God and what God said that He wanted for you, you're going to be a happy folk. You're going to be a happy folk. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why you lift your hands with us now and close your eyes. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Lynn Lundebo to come up here and pray the closing prayer tonight. I thank God for you tonight. I appreciate every one of you. God bless your lovely hearts. God is doing something. I want you to come out here. I want you to come back with a praise, folks. I want you to come back thinking on Jesus. Before tomorrow night, I want you to pray just a little bit, slip away in your closet, slip away with God somewhere, or miss a meal for God. And I want you to come back out here fired up for God and come through them gates with thanksgiving and come into these courts with praise. Now, I know tomorrow night, Sunday night, some of you might have to go to your own church. I understand that. But if you're not going there, then come out here. Come out here and be with us, because we're planning to have service and God's going to bless us. God's going to bless you. Say, how do you know that God's going to bless us? Because He told me He was going to bless us. God told me He's going to bless us. So I'm looking forward to it. Why shouldn't I believe it? God said it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I sure will do it. Let's pray for this request right here. Can you lift your hands up with me? Let's pray for this request. Folks, my hand be raised to God. I tell you the truth, and I lie not. My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, the writer said, that God is healing people here. God is healing people. God is healing people here. Can you imagine me raising my hand to God and saying that the Holy Ghost beareth witness with my conscience? God is healing people here. And if God is healing people, don't you know we're going to hear about it? Don't you know we're going to hear about it? Don't you know when people get healed, they're going to talk about it? Don't you know when they feel different, they're going to say something about it? Amen. God is healing people. Let's pray for this cause here. Father, in the name of the Son of God tonight. Oh God, I feel You doing something in the behalf of the... I feel the sister's faith right now. Heal, oh God. I feel Your healing right now. Grant. I believe that. Did you feel that? I felt it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I felt it. Hallelujah. You know, God is so good. God is a spirit. God works right. He moves right into your body, heals, he changes things, he kills diseases. Just moving right in. That's why I like for you to praise him. I sure will. I'm glad this young brother stepped up here for to be prayed for. I saw him come up back there a while ago, and I knew that he was wanting to be prayed for. I felt he ought to come up and be prayed for. I don't take too much time with you because I'm trying to get the word of the Lord over. I know that you're ready to leave a lot of times and you got jobs and whatever, so I kind of condense the service a little bit. But folks, a lot of times when we do that, we rob people of the things that God has sent to them. Did you know that? And a lot of times you lose the things that God's got for you because we don't tarry. Just think, what if the Lord said tonight, every one of you in here, I want you to tarry till you be endued with power from on high. What would you do about your jobs? Are you listening? When they went to that upper room and all them people went up there, what do you think they done about their jobs? What do you think they done about the natural things? See, that's where we're living, folks. Are we obedient? Do we love the Lord? Will we squeeze? Will we scrouge around? Will we do something to make sure that we please God? Or will we lean upon the arm of flesh? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You trust God and your meal barrel will run over. You trust God and God will make it right for you. You trust God and you'll have something to eat and a place to stay when others don't. Did you know that? Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I feel you healing here tonight. I feel you healing. And oh God, honor this person's faith. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight. Father, grant it. Lift up faith. Heal tonight. Save tonight. Do for this person what he wants done for him. As I feel the anointing on him right now. Grant it. Break every yoke. Grant it. Praise God. I feel that, folks. I feel that tonight. I feel the glory of God tonight. I really feel the glory of God. Don't you feel him tonight? Don't you feel him tonight? Lift your hands up with me again. Can you do that? If you've got anything at all tonight that's wrong with you, anything at all tonight that you'd like God to do for you to take the thing away that's wrong or whatever, or anything that's oppressing you that you'd like for God to move, God will do it for you tonight. I give you my word that God will do it for you tonight. So then as you lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight, I'm going to ask this brother to come and pray with you if he'll come right on right now. And let's just love the Lord and let's pray together tonight. As he prays with you tonight, let's let God do something for you.